This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Our pal Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, joins us to talk about the Nationals. That's how we do it here on the Beltway Blitz. Mark, a couple of wild affairs in that three-game, 24-hour series against the Cleveland Guardians. Biggest takeaway for me was the bullpen. Second biggest takeaway was how these guys keep battling even with said bullpen.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, guys. I feel like we're seeing the same formula play out maybe a majority of the games at this point, where you get some really good starting pitching, and then the bullpen has an implosion, and then the boys paddle back, and they maybe pull it off, and they maybe come up just short. And it's entertaining, I guess, in one sense. It's agonizing in another sense. It leaves you feeling like this is certainly a good enough team to be winning more games than they lose, and it just boils down to, can they either get just enough from the bullpen, or can they get just enough offensively to overcome the bullpen? I don't know how sustainable that formula is, but this is what they're playing right now, and made for some wild games.
And it doesn't look like it's going to change, does it, Mark? Because there's not people. I saw that Andrew Golden had tweeted that the Rochester bullpen ERA is over 7, so it's not as if they're going to get help in AAA. Like, is this kind of what they've got? Do you see any moves coming that maybe they could bolster it somehow with a veteran or anything? Or is this kind of just going to be the ups and downs all year?
Well, yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part of it, is that there really isn't a lot, if anything, for them to do. There's nobody at AAA right now that you say, okay, yes, that guy is a better option, either because of experience or current performance or anything like that. Now, they did sign Andrew Chafin, and yesterday wasn't so good, but his first two were good. Hopefully that's an upgrade for them. You know, a sneaky move may be Brad Lohr, who pitched great in the rotation, but now that Michael Soroka is back, he goes back to the bullpen. Could they start using him in some higher leverage spots? I would be interested to see that, because he has been effective, so that could help in some way. Personally, I'd like to see more Jackson Rutledge, more Cole Henry, previous, you know, starter prospects who are now in the bullpen and, frankly, at this point have looked better than the experienced guys. We just haven't really seen them in the big spots yet, how that will go. But that's kind of all they can do at this point. There aren't some dramatic moves. Now, maybe you make it to July and you're hovering around 500. You can look at some trades, but it's too early in the year, I think, to be thinking in those kind of terms. And so they do, for the most part, have to make this work with what they have.
Mark, real quick, I don't want to spend too much time on the bullpen, but you talked about some of the young guys maybe getting more opportunities. What's it going to take to do that? Is that just a Davey thing, or does he not trust them yet? He needs to see a little more track record, or what's it going to take for us to see Cole Henry in a tight eighth-inning game, or see Jackson Rutledge in one of those spots when, like you said, they've looked better than some of these vets?
Right. It's just going to be a leap of faith at some point where it lines up right to give one of them a try and see how it goes. I mean, they have high hopes for these kids, so you don't want to ruin them by throwing them into a spot they're not prepared for and having it go bad. But look at what the alternative is. And, you know, I understand, hey, you want to show faith in Jorge Lopez and Andrew Chafin and some of these guys who do have some kind of track record in the past. So I get that. You're going to need them ultimately in the long run. But yeah, at some point here soon, I do think you have to give it a shot. See what happens if Cole Henry pitches, say, the seventh inning with a 2-run lead, and give him a shot at it. You're never going to know until you find out if he can handle it or not. And I would imagine we're moving closer to that point where we maybe see it.
Mark, it's the nature of the sports fan. We're always looking for the next thing to get excited about. I think sometimes we overlook what's happening. So here's where I'm going with this. C.J. Abrams is still only 24 years old. He's off to a really good start. I know he missed a little bit of time there with injury, but OPS in the mid-8s, 286, was on base, I think, in six times over the last couple of games, and three walks and three hits yesterday. He's doing a lot of good things. K.B. Ruiz is off to a really good start, kind of a forgotten man after a disastrous year for him last year. Don't look now, but the guys in their mid to early 20s are doing some things for the Nationals.
Yeah, most of the building blocks are performing. Dylan Cruz has obviously been disappointing, so you hope that one turns around. But a lot of them absolutely are doing what you would hope. And let's go back to CJ for a second. Think about in the offseason and going into spring training. I thought that was like the biggest storyline the team had after the way last year ended. And how would he respond to all that? Well, you know what? He's responded as well as you could hope. He's put that issue aside. He's come out and played well. Yeah, he was hurt for about 10 days, but he didn't skip a beat when he came back from that. And he's playing like an all-star shortstop again, like we saw in the first half last season. And if that's who he can be again, oh, my God. You combine that with James Wood and everything else they have going on, that makes a huge difference. And he is a true cornerstone for you now as you move forward.
What'd you make of Mike Soroka and his return? I thought he looked good for five innings, struggled a bit in that six, but I think he's going to be a big boost for him.
I thought he looked great. Yeah, those first five innings were way more than I expected in a first start back from the IL. The swing and miss stuff he was getting, he was efficient. And then, yeah, it fell apart in the sixth, unfortunately. And you hope that's just a case of he's still building himself back up to become a full-time starter again after having the injury. But if that is anything like what we can expect from him, that's a huge addition to their rotation. And I'm curious with him, with Irvin, with Orr, we talked about the bullpen. Does there come a point that Davey says to his starters, okay, I'm going to push you a little further. You're going six, you're going seven to try to avoid using those guys. It's a tricky calculation there. But if the starters are clearly the better option and they look physically up to it, I'm curious to see if that happens here soon.
Mark, you mentioned Dylan Cruz. After we thought we were kind of, I don't want to say out of the woods, but, you thought, okay, now he got off that terrible start. Here's a bit of a turnaround. We're swooning again, even though he had that big hit the other night to help them win the ballgame against Cincinnati. He and Jacob Young, two-thirds of your regular everyday outfield, are really scuffling at the dish. I don't really have a great question with that. It's just they're scuffling. It's a huge part of your lineup, both young players that you want to count on, want to be productive for you. Something's got to change there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the question, Danny, is how long do they stick with both guys? At least that's the question I get from a lot of fans. And the answer is they're not doing anything there yet, especially in Cruz's case. Once you've committed to him, you got to stick with that. And you've heard it over the years from Mike Rizzo. You don't bring a top prospect up unless you are convinced that he's going to be here for the long run. The last thing you want to do is to send him down. They're not there yet with Cruz. So I do think you got to give him several more weeks, not another month, to try to figure some things out. But he's got to have better pitch selection at the plate, for one thing. He did, that rope that he hit off the wall the other day in a big spot was a great sign. You just need to see more of that. The good thing with him and the good thing with Jacob Young as well is that they're still playing excellent defense and not letting their offensive struggles affect that. So that's helping keep them in the lineup. I think Young probably faces a little more pressure in the immediate future. Cruz, I think you got to give him, at least till the end of May before you have to make that tough decision. Hopefully by the end of the month, you're seeing more from him to not have to consider that.
Mark, appreciate the time, man.
All right, you got it, guys. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.